Digoxin is a drug that we use reasonably commonly within cardiology. It's a drug that we are very familiar with and very comfortable using, largely because it's a drug that we're all taught at length about at medical school, because it's a drug that we know inside out and fully understand, largely a reflection of the fact it's a drug that's been with us for many, many centuries and has been thoroughly investigated and thoroughly evaluated. However, it remains a drug that's effective, and it remains a drug that we don't really have any additional competitors against, and we still use it in select cases. Typically, digoxin is used for two reasons. Its primary effect is slowing the speed of the heart, and its secondary effect is increasing the force at which the heart pumps. So the primary use of digoxin is in slowing the heart rate of people who have an unusually fast heartbeat, usually as a consequence of atrial fibrillation. This is a scenario where the upper chambers of the heart are beating more quickly than normal, and those fast heartbeats are transmitted down through the heart's junction box and into the lower chambers of the heart, encouraging those to beat at a higher speed than normal. A drug such as digoxin influences the speed at which the heart beats by slowing down the conduction of beats through the heart's junction box and slowing down the speed of the heart. Most cardiologists would restrict its use to controlling the speed of atrial fibrillation in reasonably elderly patients who are not particularly physically active, where all we're really trying to achieve is a reduction in heart rate to under 100 beats per minute, and digoxin will achieve this very effectively. The second role for digoxin is in trying to improve the overall function of the heart. Many patients with very weak heart muscle, either as a consequence of a heart attack or an underlying heart muscle problem, need treatment to try and support the heart function. This is usually achieved using additional drugs, including those called beta blockers, but in some patients that has insufficient effect and their heart function doesn't improve, and in these patients digoxin can be used not for its ability to slow the heart down, but for its additional effects in improving the contractility of the heart, making the heart more efficient, and hopefully making the patient less breathless. The patients that benefit most from digoxin are those whose principal problem is a fast heartbeat as a consequence of atrial fibrillation, and patients who are not particularly physically active. The reason for this is that if you are in atrial fibrillation and sitting quietly, you may have a heart rate of perhaps 120 or 130 beats per minute. But if you exercise, walk about, go up the stairs, carry something heavy, the speed of your heart will increase as a consequence. And in atrial fibrillation, this can be an overactive increase, and the heart rate can start to beat at around 160 or 170 beats per minute, or sometimes even faster. Digoxin has its best effect at controlling someone's speed or heart rate speed when they're resting, but is quite easily overcome by exercise. So in younger patients, we don't tend to use digoxin as a first-line treatment. We'd rather use a drug such as a beta blocker, which would also slow the acceleration of the heart during exercise. However, for more elderly patients who are more sedentary, digoxin is an entirely appropriate treatment to control the speed of someone's heart, both at rest and when they do modest exercise. Digoxin remains an extremely useful drug to the modern doctor and cardiologist, even though it is one of the oldest drugs we prescribe and use, primarily because it is effective, and it's a drug that we are all very familiar with. We all know the dose to use, most of us will know the side effects very thoroughly, and we know the response from the patient in terms of their benefit from the drug. It's not a drug we prescribe every day, but it's a drug that we will use, you know, weekly, as atrial fibrillation is a common problem, and controlling atrial fibrillation is a challenge that we face on a day-to-day basis, particularly working in a hospital, where many patients will develop atrial fibrillation as a consequence of an additional illness. For example, they might come into hospital with an infection or a respiratory problem, or perhaps after a fall and a broken bone, and the stress of that is enough to provoke atrial fibrillation to occur. These patients may well be treated with drugs such as digoxin to control the speed of their heart, whilst treatment is delivered to treat the underlying problem and hope their heart rhythm returns to normal, following which the digoxin can be stopped. For many years, digoxin was the only drug available to control the speed of the heart in atrial fibrillation, but more recently alternatives have been developed, which might include beta blockers, writing to drugs like amiodarone and flecainide, which are very effective and probably more effective than digoxin at controlling the speed of the heart. So therefore, digoxin is not first-line treatment in patients with atrial fibrillation, and it's not the drug we would consider prescribing as a single treatment up front, except in unusual cases. However, because it is effective, because it's proven, and because we know how to use it, it remains a very useful drug to have in our pharmacy, so that if a patient either can't take or can't tolerate one of the first-line treatments, digoxin is a very acceptable alternative and can also be used alongside many other drugs comfortably to allow us to control atrial fibrillation when it occurs. The effect of digoxin is to slow down the beating speed of the lower chambers of the heart. And it does this by influencing the junction box within the heart, which is a small region of tissue that crosses from the upper chambers into the lower chambers, through which every electrical impulse has to be transmitted in order to generate a beat of the lower chambers, which is what effectively causes a pulse. It does not have any effect on what the upper chambers are doing, and they will remain in atrial fibrillation, and they will continue to try and beat at a very high speed. The effect of digoxin is to slow down the transmission of those pulses through the central junction box of the heart, meaning that fewer will get through, fewer of these beats generated from the upper chambers will be transmitted through to the lower chambers, so fewer beating actions of the heart will occur and the pulse rate will slow. The exact mechanism of how digoxin does this is complicated, but it affects some of the channels within the junction box of the heart that are responsible for allowing ions to flow across electrical membranes and therefore affect the transmission of electrical impulses from an upper chamber through to the lower chamber. Digoxin was in use for quite some time before this effect was fully understood, and in fact has only recently been unlocked as to the exact mechanism of how digoxin works, and in fact this understanding may lead to development of newer treatments based around a similar principle that will have the same effect as digoxin, perhaps be slightly easier to prescribe and use. It's interesting to observe that although digoxin is a drug we've been using for centuries, it's only really in the last 10 to 15 years that the exact mechanism has been clarified and elucidated, primarily because science, in terms of our ability to visualize very small structures, either on a cellular basis or within the cell, have allowed us to exactly follow the path digoxin takes from absorption as a tablet through to its effect on the heart, and clarifying the precise mechanism by which the drug controls the speed of the heart. By unlocking these mechanisms, it allows us to develop and produce newer agents that might work in a similar way and achieve the same effect as digoxin, but with a cleaner side effect profile. As a consequence of only having its action on the heart's internal junction box, and the only effect of digoxin being slowing of the pulse rate of the lower chambers, it does not influence the behaviour of the upper chambers, and it does not promote those heart rhythm disturbances from resolving, and it does not promote the normal heart rhythm from occurring. Therefore, although digoxin is very effective and will slow someone's pulse rate, reduce their symptoms, and make their heart more efficient, it will not stop the atrial fibrillation from carrying on, and it will not reduce the risk of clot formation and stroke. Therefore, it's a priority that any patient who is considered for digoxin is also considered for an additional agent, such as warfarin, for its benefits in thinning the blood and reducing clot formation, as this remains a risk even when digoxin is used effectively and the pulse rate is slow to a normal rate and the symptoms of the patient are relieved. Digoxin is usually an extremely well-tolerated drug, and for the vast majority of patients who take digoxin, there will be no obvious side effects or consequences of the treatment. However, the way somebody's body handles digoxin, the way they metabolize it, and the amount of drug that effectively enters their bloodstream can be different, and therefore the dose may need to be varied per patient, and that might depend on the patient's body size, might depend on the patient's weight, and will depend on any additional medication the patient is taking. Therefore, whenever you start digoxin, you tend to start at a reasonably low dose and increase the dose slowly over time until you're happy that a sufficient dose is being taken to have the effects you require i.e. the heart rate is controlled to an adequate speed and without causing side effects. Digoxin can be difficult to use in some patients, in that the difference between a dose that safely controls their heart rate and a dose which causes side effects or even toxic effects is quite small, and you have to be very careful how much of the drug you give and how much of the drug you administer. Equally, in some patients, they can be on an effective dose with no side effects, but if a new medication, perhaps an antibiotic, or a short treatment for another condition is started, this can influence how digoxin is handled within their body and perhaps increase the amount of digoxin available within their bloodstream, and you may move from a scenario where the patient is having good therapeutic effect of the digoxin through to one where side effects occur and the patient starts to develop symptoms of toxicity. If the effective dose for that patient is too high, they may develop side effects. In the early stages, these can be fairly simple and may be manifested as a nauseous sensation, occasionally vomiting if it's significant, and it can cause gastrointestinal upset and diarrhea. Further side effects beyond this can start to become more serious. Patients can develop neurological side effects. That might be weakness or tingling in nerves and muscles. It might be speech disturbance, dizziness, disorientation and confusion, and these are the first signs that actually the digoxin may start to become toxic. If further digoxin is administered and the levels within the bloodstream climb any higher, then serious side effects can occur, and ultimately this can lead to coma, depressed conscious level, depressed respiration, and at very high doses digoxin is toxic and poisonous, and if enough of it is administered, it can prove fatal. Digoxin is different from some drugs in that it takes some while for the drug to reach an effective dose within the patient's bloodstream. Now, if you're starting digoxin in someone who's completely well, then you might want to give them 5 or 6 doses and accept that it won't have its main effect until after the 6th or 7th dose. However, in some patients where you want to start treatment urgently, you may wish to achieve a therapeutic effect more quickly, perhaps within a few hours, and the only way to do that is to give a large dose very quickly to achieve a therapeutic level rapidly, followed by a maintenance dose, which is a smaller dose to maintain an appropriate therapeutic level within the bloodstream and ongoing effect. If somebody is suffering from side effects of digoxin or even toxic effects, this can be proven by taking a blood test and measuring the level of digoxin within the patient's bloodstream. If the effects are serious, such as a major heart rhythm disturbance or impaired conscious level, this can be treated rapidly, firstly by not giving the patient any more digoxin, as their own system will clear the level of drug within their bloodstream, but it is also possible to administer an effective antidote, which is an antibody against the active component of digoxin within the bloodstream, which will bind to that, clear it from the bloodstream, and reduce the level very quickly, and potentially prevent any serious side effects or fatal consequences of either a digoxin overdose or additional medication which has unexpectedly influenced the level of digoxin within the bloodstream. Sufficient care and monitoring needs to be undertaken in anybody who is treated with digoxin to ensure they are not developing severe side effects or toxic effects. In elderly patients with low body weight, it is surprisingly easy to achieve a toxic effect of the drug with what appears to be fairly standard doses, particularly if those patients are also on additional medication, which may influence how, in particular, the liver handles digoxin and lead to an effective increase in the circulating amount within the bloodstream. It is possible to take blood and check how much digoxin is within someone's bloodstream, and being alert to the potential side effects, such as nausea, bradycardia, and general confusion, might be the first sign that someone is about to develop toxic side effects. If this does develop, prompt action is required to prevent further increase in the drug levels, because these can prove rapidly deleterious and in some cases fatal if an excess amount of digoxin is consumed and specific treatment can't be administered quickly enough. There are reported cases of patients overdosing on digoxin, and the drug level in their bloodstream climbs to a very dangerous level over a few hours. These patients are often admitted to hospital, but usually if the problem is identified quickly enough and corrective measures are taken, the drug levels can be reduced and the patient will make a full recovery. However, in some occasions where either it has not been recognised promptly enough or the drug level is so high the treatment is ineffective, fatal cases of overdose have been recorded. Another side effect of digoxin is the consequence of its action, and if digoxin is given in too high a dose, the heart rate can slow too much and can fall below an accepted minimum level of around 60 beats per minute. And one of the first clues that someone may be starting to have effects of digoxin over treatment might be a pulse rate down as around as low as 40 or even 30 beats per minute. This should trigger measuring the patient's digoxin blood level and seeing if excessive treatment has been given, and reducing the dose or stopping the drug altogether may be the most appropriate strategy. Historical literature does record that digoxin has been used as a poison, and certainly in excessive doses it can prove lethal. But in the doses we traditionally use for treating heart rhythm disturbance, side effects and toxic effects are extremely rare. Furthermore, we have a very straightforward blood test that can identify this scenario, and we have a very effective antidote in the form of a specific antibody which can eliminate digoxin very quickly and reduce any side effects or problems. This means that in reality it's an extremely safe drug to use, although some caution is required, particularly in elderly patients. Our familiarity with the drug, our understanding of its effects, its side effects, and its dose profile are such that it is used safely in the vast majority of patients and with no concern for the potential for either significant side effects or toxic effects to occur.